You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. 50 years ago this month, he, age 15, and his friend, age 14, were two kids walking past Old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. One of them looked down and found a baseball, a regulation Major League baseball. Little did he know that baseball was the first and only one ever hit completely out of Memorial Stadium. Doing the hitting was Frank Robinson, who had carried the Orioles that October to an improbable World Series sweep of the favored Los Angeles Dodgers while throwing in an American League Triple Crown. This is the story of the first outside-the-park home run in Baltimore Orioles history, as told by Mike Spiracco, no longer age 15, but still in Baltimore. Mike, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
50 years later, you're back in the news. Who would imagine?
It's kind of a surprise. I was, pleasantly surprised when it started happening a couple of weeks ago. I didn't realize it was 50 years. You know, time went by so fast. But like I said, it was just like it was yesterday.
You were crossing a parking lot outside the stadium. Tell us what brought you into the vicinity.
Well, I lived in the neighborhood. That was our neighborhood. I went to school right across the street at St. Bernard's for 8 years, and then I went to Woodburn Junior High, which was a couple miles away. I was in the ninth grade, and my friend had called me up in the morning. It was a Sunday morning to go miniature golfing out Lockraven Boulevard, I think around Taylor Avenue, and with a blind date. It was a blind date, is what it was. And so I agreed to go, you know, and I had a couple dollars on me, and, you know, it didn't cost a lot back in those days. And,
right.
And we took a number three bus out there, and we waited and waited and waited, and they didn't show up. They stood us up.
These were two. So you guys were on a blind date to meet two girls at this golf course.
Exactly, right. And it was this midday Sunday around 12 o'clock. And like I said, they never showed up. And to this day, I have no idea who they were. To this day, I have no idea. I don't know who they were. He knew, but I didn't. So we were best friends, Bill and I. And, you know, we great times with Bill. And I said, well, way to go, Bill. You know, nice call for this one. So what do you want to do? So we agreed to jump on a number three bus and go back down to the neighborhood. We knew it was a big game, and the Orioles were really hot that year. And it was going to be a big crowd. It was a beautiful day, too. You know, and it was Mother's Day also. So, we got back down to the stadium, and we were walking across. It was the game. The first game had already started. It was a giant crowd, you know, like 45,000 or so. That's a pretty big crowd for a baseball game, because we used to go to Colt games also, and those were, you know, really big crowds, you know, like 60,000. And just walking across that back into that lot on the west side where the stadium ice rink used to be, I heard the crowd go up, I heard the cheer, and I automatically knew it was some kind of home run, because you could tell by the, but from growing up around it, you could tell if it was a home run. And I knew it was a home run, but you're so far away, you can't hear what people are saying. And I didn't think anything of it. It just excited me a little bit. I said, can't wait to get in there. So we were probably going to buy a general admission ticket or maybe see somebody at the gate we knew, you know, because we knew a lot of people, you know, just from being around there. And I noticed that people were looking over at the top. They were like, look at all those people up there. I'm saying, Bill, look at those people. Were they pointing at us? It looked like that. I'm looking all, scanning all around. It looked like everybody was pointing at us. It was something different. Something was going on. And we didn't know. And we came to the conclusion ourselves that maybe somebody hit a ball out of the park. It was just like a second thought, you know, like an afterthought. And the first car we looked on, there was a white Cadillac. I remember that. And there was a ball laying right in the middle of the car. I mean, it couldn't be on the edge. It had to be in the middle. So I had to get on my belly and crawl underneath it. I get it.
Right.
And the first thing I thought, well, I got a ball we could play ball with, you know, but really wasn't thinking about anything. I didn't even know if that was a ball, but I'm for sure it was. And 10 seconds later, people started running towards me. A guy with a transistor radio in his ear, and I'm not sure, and this one and that one. And said, ball, Frank Robinson just hit a ball at Memorial Stadium, and that's it. And it started from there, you know.
It cleared 50 rows of bleachers, the old Baltimore Colts press box, and a TV camera stand. They estimated, Mike, it went 451 feet on the fly, and it went 540 feet before it came to a dead stop underneath the Cadillac in the middle, where you had to crawl underneath and get it.
Exactly. Now, it had to clear some kind of fence because there's like a 12-foot fence, and then the inside part where you could drive around. So it was in the parking lot itself. It was the first row of cars in the parking lot, so it must have, I don't know if they cleared that fence or it hit one time, it bounced over. I have no idea.
But isn't it crazy that it was a time in which you find the baseball and the first thought you had was, I got a new baseball, I got a baseball to play with, whereas it's completely different now.
Yeah, we still play ball, you know, and I wasn't thinking anything other than that for a couple seconds anyway, until everything started happening, then things started changing. But, yeah, that was my first thought. I said, Greg, brand new ball, major league ball. Because from growing up around there, we would get broken bats a lot. I mean, we had Mickey Mantle's baseball bat we put back together and played ball with. We had Yogi Berra's. We had Brooks Robinson's, Frank, you know, all the and obscure Orioles that you don't hear of. And different players from around the league, we'd get their bat when they crack it and somehow and get it and nail it and tape it back together and play ball with it, actually.
Now you got the ball. People are coming towards you. And what happens next? You want to give the ball. When you're told that Frank hit the ball, you decided you wanted to give the ball back to Frank. So what happened?
Well, and I'm sure the grab is just, we're taking it down to the main office. So we followed him down to the main office, and we stood outside in the lobby area in front of the stadium where you got the terracotta floor, you know, and the Oriole office. And he came back out and actually said to us, the ball's worth nothing. I'm going to escort you boys back out of the park. That's exactly what he said.
Wow.
Well, I hate to tell you, but he made a left at one point, and we made a right, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I got you. I've been there. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
So we were in. So we accomplished our goal anyway. Mm-hmm. So we're inside the park, Manville, with the ball in hand, and he's more gregarious than I am. He's loud, you know, and he's I was more quiet, and he's telling everybody, we got the ball to Frank. I'm telling him, will you shut up? You know,
we don't have a ticket.
We don't even have a ticket to get in here. So we came to the conclusion, let's work our way down by the dugout because we knew how to do it. You know, we were always dressed nice and looked good, you know. And we took pride in being looking good. And so we were going to work our way down to the Oriole dugout and present the ball to Frank Robinson, lean over to Gaze. Hey, Frank, here's the ball you hit out. I want to give it back to you. That's what was our plan to do, you know. And we got about maybe five rows from the dugout, right? The dugout, right? And Oriole dugout. And people were, you know, offering me deals right there, you know. I remember my guy offered me $50 and his wife hollered at him. That was funny.
That was a lot of money in 1960. That's a lot of bus rides right there.
Yeah, $50 was a lot back in 66.
Yes, it was.
And I said, nah, I want to give it to Frank. And then I'll turn around and here come a bunch of police officers and a bunch of ushers. I said to Bill, I said, look what your big mouth did now. Now we're going to get in trouble. You know, we got to face our parents now, you know, because we were strict back in the days, you know.
No kidding. That was a fate worse than death.
Yeah, I was scared. Yeah. So, but they, when they came up to us, they were very, very nice, and they were very, you know, they were just as pleasant as it could be. And they said, "Listen, Harry Dalton wants to meet you outside." I said, "Would you like to meet him?" You know, I said, "Sure."
Harry Dalton was the general manager of the team.
Right, he was the general manager of the Orioles at the time. So, I mean, I never met Harry Dalton before. I didn't know what he looked like. But when I got outside, he was out there. I remember his tie was blowing because it was a little windy on that side for some reason. And we were talking to him. I showed him the ball. And he says, "Well, why don't you come on upstairs with us? You know, we'll get you upstairs, Bill and I." And we went up to the press box in the mezzanine area right behind home plate next to the Cleveland radio station. And we weren't there 5 minutes, and he said, "We called your parents, and you know, make sure everything's fine. Let them know where you're at, and you need a Coke, a hot dog." And 5 minutes later, Rex Barney comes over the loudspeaker and announces that Frank did hit a ball out of Memorial Stadium, that was official, and a big cheer went up. And then he said, behind the press box, behind the plate to the right, are two young gentlemen that retrieved the ball. And my goodness, people turned around, and the whole crowd went up and gave us a standing ovation. Wow.
For two guys who were in the ballpark without tickets.
Right, exactly. And we're kind of giving the presidential wave, we call that. You know, just waving our hand. I don't believe it. Is this real? Am I dreaming this? Right.
Wow. Rex Barney, I should mention, was the longtime public address announcer for the Baltimore Orioles. He had been a very promising pitcher for the Brooklyn Dodgers, threw very, very hard and then blew out his arm. But he was the PA announcer, and now everybody is standing up. Now, we should mention, this was in the first inning. The incident with the home run took place in the first inning of the second game of a doubleheader against Cleveland. That Baltimore would eventually win 8-3. The pitcher was Louis Tiant, who threw the pitch, and he had thrown three straight shutouts to start the season. Tell us about how you wound up in the locker room to present the ball to Frank.
I gave the ball to Harry, told him to hold it, you know, because it was, you know, getting kind of smudged up. And the reporters were sitting behind us. We had the first row. You know, and everybody wanted to see the ball. Everybody wanted to hold the ball. And I could notice the ball was getting dirty and smudgy. So I gave it to Harry and Mr. Dalton, I mean. And I said, "Well, you know, just meet me after the game." And then, and of course, he kept relying on us there. Our parents did. Called our parents. Everything's fine. So we're going to hold you for a while. I said, "Okay, that's good." And after the second game, I there's an elevator up there, which I didn't know about. I thought I knew everything about that stadium.
You were right. You were in parts of the stadium you never knew, even imagined.
Exactly. And I got on that. Oh, we got on the elevator. As soon as it went down, as soon as the elevator was opened up, God, we were swamped on by about 25 reporters, you know, and cameras and flash bulbs and. And everything. It was stars.
You and your friend are stars.
Exactly. It was intimidating. and that was it. And we said, you know, "Did you make any deals?" I said, "Whatever Harry Dalton says," I said, "whatever it is, we wanted to get the ball to Frank." And we went around. The doors opened up right into the clubhouse, and we went around and shook every Oriole hand. That's what I liked, and met every single Baltimore Oriole.
Wow!
He signed another ball, and he signed a yearbook, and we just shook we met every single one of them, which was great. And then we went into a training room. I hadn't met Frank yet, and we went into a training room. And sat up on a table, and then in walked Frank Robinson, and he had a trainer with him, and he was concerned about something else. He was arguing about something. I don't know what it was. It's something that happened to him, and then they calmed him down. And said, "Frank, we got the two guys that got your ball," and he turned around and looked at us, and it just turned into the nicest guy you ever met.
That's
real
great.
Real nice man. And he jumped up on the table, and I sat in the middle. He sat on my right, and Billy sat on my left. And we held the ball up and started taking pictures. and just met each other, and, you know, and that was it, basically.
Wow.
He thanked me and everything, and I told him, I said, man, I think you're a really great player, you know, and because he was new to Baltimore that year.
Right, he had just come over in the winter from Cincinnati.
And I didn't even know who Frank Robinson was, so he started playing for us.
Right, because he was in the other league. You never saw the other league.
Right.
Yeah. What did the Orioles give you as a keepsake?
Well, they did. They gave me a season pass.
Wow.
Season pass. They gave us, of course, the ball and the yearbook. And at the end of the season, they gave me some World Series tickets.
Wow.
For my whole family, yeah.
Wow.
World Series tickets to the Dodgers, you know. And I went to the third game, I believe, the one where Paul Blair hit the home run.
Right.
Off of Paul and Osteen. But I didn't know that he hit that ball for Luis Tiant.
Yeah, he hit it off of Louis. He hit it off of Louis Tiant, who had won.
He was pretty famous, yeah.
Right, Tiant had won. Had thrown three straight shutouts to start the season before this particular game. Now, here's another crazy part of it. We're with Mike Sparacco, who picked up the ball that Frank Robinson hit completely out of Memorial Stadium in Baltimore in May of 1966. The only person to ever have done that. Your after-school job was delivering newspapers for the old Baltimore News American, and you not only were delivering the papers, you were in the paper.
I was on the front page. When I opened up my bundle, I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, my gosh. That picture made the front page of the News American because they only had the afternoon part then. And I actually served the Sun paper, too, and I served the Morning Sun. I had a morning route also, but that made the front page of the sports.
Wow.
Now, I guess it was picked up by all the rest of the papers around the United States because I started getting calls. My grandfather lived in New York City, and I had people who lived in different cities around the United States that started calling my house. We saw Mike's picture in Cleveland. We saw him, of course, in Cleveland. In Boston and New York and different places, you know?
Wow. It made national news.
Yeah.
A booster club erected a flag that flew until the Orioles left Memorial Stadium after the 1991 season to mark the spot where the ball was hit. And on that flag, Mike, was one word, here.
Right. It was here. Yeah, I went by that flag many a time. Every time I go to the stadium, my friends would say, let's walk over and check that flag out. And so I would go to that section, because it was general admission. You could get around pretty easy in general admission. And my season pass was general admission also, which I loved. I love general admission.
Sure.
You could sit anywhere you want, you know.
Right.
You weren't designed to a regular seat. And we used to go to the games a lot anyway because we lived so close to the stadium. I could open up my front door and hear the crowd cheer, you know.
Right. The stadium was in the middle of a residential neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was our background. I mean, that was our playground at times.
You know what's amazing is you can recall every detail of that afternoon 50 years ago. Through the years, have many people reminded you of that day?
Oh, goodness, yeah. Especially right afterwards. I mean, I was okay in school. I wasn't the greatest. I didn't get the greatest marks. I mean, but I was just a regular kid. But the next day, I was a celebrity when I went into school. I mean, teachers even liked me for a change, you know? And then people would call up from around the city, like, teenage girls that were our age, you know, somehow they got my telephone number. We saw your picture in a paper.
Hey, Mike, where were those two? Where were those two girls that were missing in action at the golf course?
I have no idea.
Now they want to meet you.
Yeah, now they want to meet us, right. Exactly, right.
If you, in that morning, when you woke up and somebody had come to you and said, Mike, here's how your day's going to go, you wouldn't have believed it.
No. It was like I said, I had no idea I was going to do that day. Phil had called me up in the morning, I said, this is like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, what's up, Phil? And he told me. So, I mean, I had to get the okay from my mother, you know. I mean, I'm still, you know, underage. And I said, Mama, I said, what are you doing? I said, can I go up here and do this? She said, sure, go ahead, son, as long as you have money. And which I did. I always had a couple of dollars, you know. Like, mm-hmm. I said, I always worked. And, you know, but who, I, no. That's the last thing on my mind is that.
An abject lesson, Mike, in everything in life is timing.
Right. Everything is timing. I said that ever since that day. Timing is everything.
Being in the right place at the right time.
Right place, right time. It could have happened to anybody.
What an honor it is for me to meet you. And to thank you so much for recounting for us this incredible day in Baltimore Orioles history and an incredible day in your life.
Well, thank you, sir. It's something that never goes away. And every now and then somebody will come up to me and want to know the story. And, you know, it's just a cherished treasure, you know.
It really is, and it's a beautiful story. So that is Mike Sparacco. That'll do it for us on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.